We're about to go live with my friend from South Africa. Her name is Kayla, and we met at Afropunk in New York, and it was magic. All of a sudden, she was standing there, and she was like, "Hey, I want to hug you." And I was like, "Oh, thank you. It's not my birthday anymore." Whoop, whoop, whoop. It's like, yo. She once said, "I want to hug you." And I was like, we hugged. And she was like, "Yeah, your heart has an electric magnetic force. And when you hug, you can feel the vibration of each other. And it's the way that we share." And I was like, "Who are you?" And she was like, "Oh, I'm Kayla. I'm from South Africa. Bleep, 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 bleep." And I was like, "Oh, hey." But generally, I haven't met another being that has exemplified the spirit of God in a way that everything she says that comes out of her mouth is just so attuned to spirit. She spends her life in a way. Hey, Kayla, she's here. How do I request her in? All right. Let me see. Yeah, everything. I was just talking about you, Kayla. I was just saying everything that comes out of your mouth is pure genius. I don't want to hype you up like that, but I hyped you up. All right. How do I request you in? Hey, Keys, love you. Kayla, I think you have to request a button. You have to press a button that, go live with boom.
Hey, hey, hey. I know how to go on live. I know how to go on live.
But yeah, so we're just, hey, baby.
Hey.
You looking so fine.
So long.
I know, since
I've
actually seen your face. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. I feel like I feel more myself than I ever have been or ever have. And you know, the last time we spoke, I was like, "Oh, I'm so sad. Oh, what's life?" But I like feel the most myself I ever have simply because I've been able to sit with myself. You know,
right?
I like, love myself in ways that I could only do with this isolation. Like that you have to be within it, isolation, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I am better than good, I'm better than great, I'm better than divine, I'm just here. And that is the magic, when you can be here and everything be perfect because you're here. Yeah, I can't complain at all.
I feel like for those of us fortunate enough to self-quarantine, mm-hmm. like forced communication to the entire planet, right? It's literally quiet time for all of us, and everything comes to the light in time. So, yeah,
I feel
energized. I feel like I've returned to, like, yeah.
Yeah, the chest space, the heart space. Okay, so I was trying to explain before you came on how we met, how I know you, but it was divine. I always think about how I met you.
Oh, it's heart chakra. It's a heart chakra. Because it's Kayla Squared.
It was, I don't know. But I remember what I felt most about you was that you walked in your divinity. And you weren't afraid to walk in. We were out and we were drunk and you were still talking about spirit. Like, you were still there, like, the universe. And I was like, how is she, like, you're so committed to yourself and to your practice and your flow. What first, because this is a God flow, what is your idea of God? What would you say your idea of God is, or the energy that we call God?
Can I first add on to what you were saying? Like, we were out, we were at Afropunk, like, it was amazing, right?
Yeah.
I think often we feel like we need to shed ego to get to this divine space, almost as if we're devoid of ego. And I feel like more of us need to just encapsulate ego because it's part of who we are. The shedding this, because I know personally for the longest time, I was trying to be this pure light being. And it's like, actually, no, my manifestation in this planet is part of the reason that I have like skills or abilities or talents, right? So just incorporating your humanity into this idea of divinity or God.
Yeah, that is.
That's like pre-Christmas.
No, that's because a lot of times when people say ego, they think of something negative. As soon as they associate the word ego, they hear like this negative connotation of it. And I always explain to people, the reason we even have an ego is because when we're born into this world and we're this pure spirit, we have to learn how to be human and what the practices of this planet are. Because how are we going to know? And because of that, and because of the things that we have in place and the systems we have in place, we build up this personality that helps us maneuver within this world. It's almost like our Matrix avatar. That's how I see egos, like it's our Matrix avatar. You know, and Neo could fly in the Matrix because of the fact is he had this avatar. So it's, I would say you can't destroy the Matrix from outside of it. You have to be within it to end up, you know, to make an impact. So it is, you saying embracing that part of yourself, embracing your ego is, yeah, it's very important. I don't think we hear it enough.
Yeah, I think we vilify people far too much because we're manifesting the 3D for a reason, right? We're not just spirits hovering around. We're in the physical for a reason. There's something that's divine about action, needing to go from like point A to point B or toiling or just the process of yeah, movement
of space is divine. Yeah, it's a lot of it's a lot of work, you know, and I think that is I've been realizing lately for myself challenge, how to embrace the challenge of life, because life can be so, I feel at times, overwhelming, but it's only overwhelming because we don't greet challenge with this energy of like excitement. We almost shy away from any challenges in our life, like, oh no, I don't want to deal with this. But in the challenge is the time that we become most ourselves, I feel like, because we prove to ourselves that we're stronger than we once thought beforehand. And that in itself makes us stronger than what we were beforehand. Yeah.
100%. Like embracing fear is so liberating because you'll always be afraid, you'll always be nervous. But I've actually realized that like nervous energy is actually excitement. Like vibrationally, they're very, very similar.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, I so to be able to take that like fear and just like, I feel like an alchemist and just like churn it and turn it into excitement and then go past the things that like we're afraid of, right? Go past the boundaries that we've set for ourselves.
Yeah, that is, that I always say that all the time, because energy, it's the same thing as love and hate. When they say there's a thin line between love and hate, the only reason is because it's the same energy. But we direct it. We take that amount of energy and we direct it in the way that we feel fit, whether we feel like we're comfortable with something or uncomfortable with something. I feel like it's just a lot of energy. And I remember remember my first ever performance. I was standing by the side of the stage and I was cool the whole day. I was cool as hell. I was like, yeah, I'm good. I got this. What? Me? And then I was standing by the stage. It was my turn. And I was like, oh my God. I started feeling this energy in my stomach. And I was like, oh my God, I'm nervous. And I stopped for a second and I was like, yo, how do you know you're nervous right now? This energy that you feel, how do you know energy is not building in your body for you to release out to people? How do you know this is not the energy of God filling you up so that you can then release it and touch people with this? And I started thinking of it like that when I was at the side of the stage. I was like, oh wow, like maybe it's the same thing. Maybe this energy that we feel, because we don't know what it is, we associate it with the closest thing that we can think of at the time. Like, oh yes, nerves, oh, it's butterflies, oh, it must be I'm scared. But no, you could be excited, you know? Like, I've learned that lesson so many times throughout my life in moments where I changed what fear was, you know? Like, if you're standing on the side of a cliff about to jump, you're obviously going to feel what the fuck, you know? You're going to feel that. But that release is what then, I think, transmutes that energy into something more. Yeah.
So two things. One is movement therapy and two is surrender. I think the last time we spoke on the phone, I spoke to you about last year, July, and how it taught me surrender.
Yeah.
Part of the ego tells you that you need to do 1, 2, 3 and you need to control and blah, blah, blah. But actually you need to surrender to the moment because your lessons are being given to you now, right? And just accepting. So if you're on stage, just surrender. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Just be in the moment, because as you said when you started this, existence is bliss.
Yeah,
and the present moment is actually divine in so many ways. That was the first point. What is the second point?
I feel like I need a big buzzer whenever you drop a bomb, like boom, 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 boom. Like for the next time I went, I'm gonna definitely get a big button. Like, boom, 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 boom. But yeah, surrender is bliss. Existence is bliss. Surrender is bliss. That is fire. I would ask you until you get your second point back. So the idea of me, what the God flow is being in the state of alignment with yourself and the energy within yourself, that you move in accordance to your own flow. Like, so that is what the God flow is for me. Like, some people call it the zone. Some people only can get in into it at a certain point when they're like, oh yeah, I'm playing sports, or when I'm making music, I just feel like I'm in this zone. But what ways would you say that you get into the zone and or the flow of energy and what that even means to you personally?
What you're saying is like complete bliss, because my definition of God is the energy that permeates everything, right? It's that tangible force of creation. Because I feel like a lot of times, as whatever creator you are, whether you're in like graphic design or you're a chef or dancer, or even if you're an accountant, right? All of these things are kung fu's, the way that we service the world. And through service to others, it's service of self, right? I'm digressing quite a bit, but it's that divinity, right? And being able to channel that. So all of us ultimately are conduits. I know personally, I feel like my kung fu is writing, and often I feel like it just flows into me from this other realm. The words are not my own, and that's how I know I'm in flow, when mm-hmm. the conscious mind is not there and I'm just functioning out of subconscious. And then that links into movement therapy. Yeah. So movement therapy is just the idea that your body basically goes into fight or flight, right? And yes. These hormones are pumped into you. So 300 years ago, it would be because we were hunting and we saw a lion, for example, right? In present day, it's traffic, it's deadlines, it's the corona, yeah. right? It's the unknown future that causes anxiety. What does our body do? It does this, right? It's fight or flight. So we're constantly tense. And so if I'm feeling out of flow, the best thing I can do is to expand, right? To work on that. And that's movement therapy, because I feel like, especially as millennials and Generation Z, we're almost obsessed with self-care, the outer maintenance of the avatar, right? It's like masks and we also speak of mental health. We don't speak of movement, right? How energy centers, like our chakras are energy centers throughout the body, and how energy is just trapped in different places. And lack of movement means like it's still, right? It's stagnant in your body. And if you look at nature, nothing is ever stagnant, right? If water, for example, is stagnant, it's dying. So if you aren't moving, right, through your depression, if you aren't moving as a means to heal yourself, then. So all of this is the answer to this. If you need to get into the space, right, a simple stretch, going for a walk, just anything that'll put my conscious mind on autopilot through action, through movement in the space, that for me, helps me tap into my God flow.
That is so important on so many different levels. You just let that breathe, because I don't think we don't use things to heal ourselves that we know. We don't take it seriously because we take it for granted, because we feel like, oh yeah, I move, like I can, I've got this body that this just happens. But to consciously move, that's why I dance a lot. When people say, like, I generally dance to bring my energy and my vibration up, because I feel like when I'm dancing, there's nothing inside me that can be stiff or awkward, or it's just like a release. It's a general release. But even deeper, when I was on mushrooms this one time, I was talking about, right? And I was just like, you know how in certain, I want to say Indian, Asian cultures, how their movements are very like, and it's like they have this whole where they move it. I was like, I was thinking about time travel, and I was thinking, if time travel was possible, it would be through activating your Merkaba, your light body. So holding a vibration, and then it would be about movement. It would be about certain precise movements that, I don't know, there's a program on Netflix called The OA, right? If you guys haven't watched it, I'll tell you to watch it. It is about, it's about how to travel dimensions. And the whole thing about them is how they move. They do like these certain movements that like open themselves up so that they can move through time. And the idea of even moving through time, for anybody that doesn't like or hasn't heard me speak about time before, I don't believe time is linear. Like, I don't believe there's a future and there's past. So I just, like, it's just this moment. And so turn time like this, it's like always a flowing constant now moment, right? So everything that has happened, has ever happened, will happen, is happening right now. So the movement of being able to move through time isn't necessarily having to go anywhere except from where you are here. It's just about vibrating to a point and a different frequency that you can tune into a different timeline. You know, I might be going too deep. I can't remember what the question was, even I asked you, but generally, yeah, like it's about, so movement to me is very, I realize it's very, 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 very important. And as I'm getting older as well, I'm realizing my body is telling me, people think as you get older, oh, you get stiff. No, it's your body telling you, you have to move more. Like, move more, move. Because we stop moving as we get older and we get into the same routines and your body is like, no, like, do yoga, move, stretch, like, use me, because you're stopping using me and I need to be used by you. That's what my body
like
said.
The moment you spoke, I actually instantly thought of this Mayan saying, and they say that if someone has depression, ask them when was the last time they danced, when was the last time they sung, and like when was the last time they praised in the moment. And yeah. And there's something so profound about just using the voice and moving through space, because it's I don't know, it's really hard to be depressed if you're dancing, you know?
Yeah.
It sounds almost like you're trivializing depression, because obviously it is a mental condition, but yeah. There's something about just occupying the present moment with intention that I feel like, yeah, it's hard to get stuck in any sort of mental rut when you're just operating from heart.
Yeah, it's obviously it's not going to cure depression. As someone that's dealt with depression throughout my whole life, and that's the thing, people think as well, when you go into spiritual practices, it's supposed to rid yourself of everything. No more depression, no more anxiety, no more sadness. You're just this happy, free little bird. It's like, no, that's not the truth. If anything, it probably gets harder because the awareness grows. Like, your awareness grows and your heart breaks continuously so that you can stay open. Your heart just keeps breaking so that you can stay open. So you get into this space of just like, all the time. But the difference is you learn how to deal with these spaces. Yeah. Most people don't ever even know how to deal with these spaces. Can't even consciously identify when they're in the spaces. That's even like another layer. A lot of people can't even identify, am I depressed? That's what I mean. I know as soon as it's starting to hit, I know as soon as it's like creeping up, I'm like, I can feel it. It's this awareness, this heightened awareness, that is the reason why we do the practices that we do, so that we're able to deal with them and move through this world, not void of pain, but with pain. As a companion, like as a friend. And that sounds strange, but I'm learning that my pain is my friend. Like, breaking is healing.
Yeah.
You know, that's been my big thing, like breaking is healing. The more that you break, the more that you heal. You can't have healing without breaking. So it's like, healing is such an important element of our life because it teaches us so much, like so much in every moment.
There's a Rumi quote, and I'm paraphrasing, right? I'm gonna get it, I'm gonna chop it up. But basically he says that in the cracks is where the light enters. And it's so true that sometimes we have to go through these experiences where we feel almost broken, whether it's by stress or society or friends or family. And these cracks actually teach us compassion, right? Mm-hmm. For self as well. Because I'm really grateful to be born in the space of time where we're so much more conscientious of like our childhood traumas, for example, right? And inner child work. And we're all varying ages, but ultimately we're kids. All of us are kids, and it's like grown-up avatar, and it's like we all have like internal work to do. And if you wouldn't speak to a child that way, why would you speak to yourself that way? And learning to speak to yourself with the compassionate tools and just being gentle with yourself the way you would a child, right?
Yeah.
But often we're taught or we're spoken to maybe whilst growing up in a certain way, and that becomes the way in which we actually start speaking to ourselves, right? I feel a lot of us aren't even conscientious of the voices in our heads and who's narrating, right? And our reactions or our standards for self.
Yeah, that's very true. I've been learning that lately. I think I started really taking that in at the beginning of this year, and I realized, but that also like ties into self-love, because if we let the outside world dictate and treat us in ways that we don't stand up for ourselves enough to say like, hey, this is not right, or hey, I don't really like this, or hey. So when it comes to ourselves, especially being our hardest critic, because the awareness grows, like your awareness grows and your heart breaks continuously so that you can stay open. Your heart just keeps breaking so that you can stay open. So you get into this space of just like all the time. But the difference is you learn how to deal with these spaces. Yeah. Most people don't ever even know how to deal with these spaces. Can't even consciously identify when they're in the spaces. That's even like another layer. A lot of people can't even identify, am I depressed? That's what I mean. I know as soon as it's starting to hit, I know as soon as it's like creeping up, I'm like, I can feel it. It's this awareness, this heightened awareness, that is the reason why we do the practices that we do, so that we're able to deal with them and move through this world, not void of pain, but with pain, as a companion, like as a friend. And that sounds strange, but I'm learning that my pain is my friend. Like, breaking is healing.
Yeah.
You know, I keep, that's been my big thing, like breaking is healing. The more that you break, the more that you heal. There can't be one, you can't have healing without breaking. So it's like healing is such an important element of our life because it teaches us so much, like so much in every moment.
There's a Rumi quote, and I'm paraphrasing, right? I'm going to get it, I'm going to chop it up. But basically he says that in the cracks is where the light enters. And it's so true that sometimes we have to go through these experiences where we feel almost broken, whether it's by stress or society or friends or family. And these cracks actually teach us compassion, right? Mm-hmm. For self as well. Because I'm really grateful to be born in the space of time where we're so much more conscientious of like our childhood traumas, for example, right? And inner child work. And we're all varying ages, but ultimately we're kids. All of us are kids, and it's like grown-up avatar, and it's like we all have like internal work to do. And if you wouldn't speak to a child that way, why would you speak to yourself that way? And learning to speak to yourself with the compassionate tools and just being gentle with yourself the way you would a child, right? Yeah. But often we're taught, or we're spoken to maybe whilst growing up, in a certain way, and that becomes the way in which we actually start speaking to ourselves, right? I feel a lot of us aren't even conscientious of the voices in our heads and who's narrating, right? And our reactions or our standards for self.
That's very true. I've been learning that lately. I think I started really taking that in at the beginning of this year, and I realized, but that also like ties into self-love, because if we let the outside world dictate and treat us in ways that we don't stand up for ourselves enough to say like, hey, this is not right, or hey, I don't really like this, or hey. So with it, when it comes to ourselves, especially being our hardest critic, we find it especially hard to say to ourselves, hey, chill out, just be cool. Like, as someone that I feel like is one of the biggest critics of self. I know that as an artist, you just generally are a critic as well. But as one of the biggest critics of self, I had to start being the mother and the child. You know, instead of just being like, I'm an adult, I need to know better, I need to do better. No one is perfect and no one is finished. None of us are in our perfect forms or our finished forms, because if that was the case, we'll be dead. That's the truth. We are constantly here to evolve. So in that point, you have to treat yourself like both mother and child, I think, or father and child, whatever, or them and parent and child have to be politically correct. But as time, like as you grow, I think we come out of our parents' care, and I think the society tells you when you come out of your parents' care, you go into a care of a partner or a spouse. That's traditionally how it goes. You go from parents to wife or husband, and you're given away. You're like given, you're never your own, you know, and that being your own is so important. Being all facets of person to yourself, I feel like is so important, and taking the time to even learn that. Learn what your child needs, learn what you need from like that age from 1 to 7, like what do you need, you know? Like, yeah.
We're also constantly giving birth to new versions of ourselves, right? This idea of self being a static thing is completely untrue, because as you said, time's not linear, right? So you're tapping into different timelines of self, right? And different levels of awareness at all points in time. And sometimes maybe a childhood trauma comes up and your reaction, right? Because fight or flight, it's neural pathways, you're used to reacting a certain way. So instinctively you go there. And that timeline may be here or here, whatever the case is. But even like the notion of self is not static. So yeah, we're constantly giving birth to new versions, which is why I love when you say you're both the mom and the child, because ultimately, even the notion of self, I find kind of problematic, but I digress.
No, I feel like digress, if that is, what do you mean by the notion of self being problematic?
So we have a set of experiences, right? Obviously you're born with some sort of intrinsic personality, which is ego, right? And then light body is who you really are, right? The spirit watching existence play out. And we start becoming really attached to ways of being, memory, to things of the physical. And that's obviously okay, because I mean, we're in the physical for a reason, right? But that is ultimately not who you are. And there was actually, I guess the therapeutic technique, it's a combination of energy healing combined with psychology. So the idea is to close your eyes, center your energy, do a light meditation, however long light means to you, right? And then think of your timeline from zero to however old you are now, right? With your eyes closed, just go through the timeline and pick an age, any age. So if your age is like 8, for example, go into you as an 8-year-old and really live out the memories that you remember, right? Really like taste, feel, see, like, mm-hmm. re-inhabit that memory. Memories can be reprogrammed over time. A little fun fact about memories is they change depending on how you feel in the moment when you think about them. So if I'm really happy, right? Yeah. If I'm really happy right now and I think about a slightly somber event, the event starts to change in terms of neural pathways because there's a slightly different association because of the present. So even our memories that we cling to so dearly, because that's who we think we are, right? Even those are changing as we grow and change and get new experience. The technique is you scroll through your timeline, you pick an age, and then you exist in that age, right? So exist in the memory, and whatever you felt that version of you needed, you give to yourself. So if the 8-year-old version of you needed a hug at that point in time, yeah, you go into the memory and you literally hug your inner child. And that helps, that really, really, really helps reprogramming, especially traumatic memories, right? And then when you think about them again, they're less impactful. And as I said, you can do it at any point along the timeline. So you can do it as an actual child. You can do it as a teen. You can do it at your early 20s. Because I know being a millennial, adulting is a full-time job.
Adulting is a real thing that no one, I feel like I never learned. No one taught me how to adult, okay? I feel like there needs to be classing on how to adult, how to navigate and balance your friends, your family, your career, your purpose, yourself, your self-worth, the understanding of how you fit in society. And plus, we have to adapt to society now because it's constantly changing. I can't go to one mom and be like, how was it? She lived in a completely different time. It almost is like me seeing how time like shifts completely. I can talk to a 15, 16-year-old now and I'm like, I don't get references. I don't, like, it's like this whole thing. So I think it's really important to evaluate where you are and where you've come from and what has affected you so far. You know, it's so important to see what has affected you so far because we build most of our thoughts about the world is built between 1 and 7. Isn't that crazy? So you have this 7-year-old child inside of you. You have this 7-year-old child inside of you. It's like, this is wrong. Okay, this ain't supposed to be like this. They need to talk to us. Or why do they ignore me? That's, you have a little child inside of you that's telling you and dictating, and you're like, yeah. Because the same way you said memories can be manipulated and based on your present state of being, so can the future and the past. Because they're all thoughts. To me, if it exists like in here, like the future to me is as much of a memory as the past is, because both are not, I can't experience right now. I can't touch, they're not tangible. They exist up here. Because even when I'm in the future, I'm present. So I'm never going to be in the future. I'm never going
to
be.
To add on to that, there's something called the observation theory, right? It's a physics principle, it's particle physics, right? So we're talking quantum. And what happens is when you observe an atom, right? It's Schrodinger's cat. I'm sure you've heard of Schrodinger's cat, maybe Big Bang Theory. But basically, the particle is both a particle and a wave at the same time, right? So physics is saying through observation, we can change the outcome of something, right? And for me, that is just that's so philosophical. That for me is God, right? It means that my conscious awareness, and if I give attention to something, I can impact what it becomes. I can impact what I become. And when you spoke of future, exactly what it is, but having the thought, and then again, because we're in the 3D, being brave enough, having the the courage to act on it.
Yeah, that is the biggest thing is action. Like, action is so important. Action, I think a lot of people don't realize. I remember when I first got into self-development, self-awareness, I read the book called The Secret. And The Secret talks about how to manifest things from your mind, how to do your thoughts. And I was like, yeah, when I first got into it, I was like, yeah. And then I realized it was a big flaw. I was like, I know so many people that's read this book. Why don't I know millionaires yet? Why don't I know people that are happy? Why don't I know people that are like, why this obviously doesn't work? And I realized it's not that it doesn't work. It's that there's steps after that. You have to think and then act. Like, faith is not believing it's going to be okay. It's knowing it is and acting accordingly. I can't just sit in my house and be like, I have faith it's going to happen. I have to know it so much so that I'm willing to act. Like, that's how I know Beyonce knows some shit. I'm sorry. The reason I know Beyonce is Beyonce is because Beyonce knows whenever she thinks of something, it's already done. And she acts upon it. No matter what comes in her way, she just acts upon it. And that is the point. Like, whenever you're trying to manifest, to anybody out there ever said this, artists, if you're trying to manifest your dream, you have to walk in it. You have to walk in it. And and I know they say, oh, fake it till you make it. It's not necessarily about faking it. It's about knowing that you already have it. I always say, if I'm a millionaire and I go into a store and I see some milk, right? And I'm like, oh, this almond milk's $5, but this milk is like $2. I'm going to get this because it's cheaper. If I was a millionaire, would I even think about it? In that moment, I have to then embody the energy or the vibration that I want to become and the person that I see myself becoming. So as an artist, as a person, as anybody's trying to manifest something, you have to act as if you are. Being that vibration, how would that person think? How would that person move? How would that person treat other people? You know, and then become that person. And that is very important, your action. Yeah.
It's a controversial statement, but I feel like poverty is a paradigm of the mind. Right? Mm-hmm. It's a lack of access to information. It's a lack of access to self as well. So that's all poverty is fundamentally, right? And when you're operating in a denser energy, you're operating from your base chakra or your reptilian brain, right? And your reptilian brain is basically, again, fight or flight. It's I need survival. I need a house. I need food. You're not at the higher chakras yet, right? Because you're literally operating from that space because you're not fully aware of self.
That is 100% spot on. And I think when it's hard, but so as people that we know that where our minds work, I haven't been in a certain mind frame for a very long time. There's people out there that are generally that's struggling to just make ends meet and get their mind right. What practices do you do to whenever you feel like you're starting to get foggy? How do you clear your energy? Am I frozen?
Kayla, come back. Are you back?
You were breaking up and moving in slow mo. I was like trying to hear. Please repeat that.
I just asked, how do you, so when people are feeling in a, say a rut or start to be in a rut, especially with everything that's going on, we can't ignore what is going on and how it is vibrationally affecting people. As much as it has been a great thing and we want to focus on the fact that it's been a great thing, it's also affecting people in a very real way. So when you feel like you're in a rut, how do you clear your energy and clear your vibration?
I think it just takes critically looking at myself. There's a book called The Celestine Prophecies. I don't know if you've read it, but I love it. It's a fictional book, but I love it.
This book is talking about people. It was already on the table. This is the book. Yep.
It is the vibe. If I'm in a rut, I look at, because there's four lower level energy types they speak about, right? And I look at it and I ask myself, am I being a poor me right now, right? Because again, divinity is being here, action and movement through the space. If I'm not empowering my God body, then how can I expect the world to fall at my feet or to create underneath me, right? Unless I'm consciously creating it. So it's just getting, it's just getting out of these cloaks that we wear, because your inner child sometimes like to a tantrum and be sad, you know, and that's okay. It's like, okay, we're gonna be sad today, let's be super sad, or we're angry, or whatever the case is, and is it a poor me? Am I being aloof, right? Am I, sometimes we cut people off energetically, because we're trying to actually gain energy.
Yeah.
So as a solicitor, he's like, it speaks about that. So it's like, okay, recognizing the pattern in myself, and then giving myself my ego time to play around, and then once we're done playing,
get back to it.
Because another thing that quarantine has really highlighted for me is the value of youth and the value of intention in work, right? So I've always been someone who's loved purpose-driven work, or felt that my actions need a higher purpose. Yeah. But now I feel like the voices in our brain that tell us very many things, the monkey mind, who's always there trying to distract you, has almost moved to the side, and things have crystallized, because again, I feel like it's almost a theme today. Existence is bliss, right? And there's only the present moment. So it's being so much more intentional and deliberate about every action in our life. And even the relationships, I feel like people's relationships right now are blossoming simply because people are holding the light to them and taking the time to really interact.
Yeah. And also just appreciating the void of, like, I will say to people, I love darkness. I love the darkness. And that's earlier when I was talking about pain and pain being a companion and learning how to love pain, is because a candle would not know that it's a light if it did not have darkness. A candle in the sun would not know that it was a candle. You know, it would just
be. Can I say something?
Yeah, yeah.
I have a poem that I wrote a little while back, and it starts off and I say, the sun never sees itself, right? If you're the sun and you exist in space and complete darkness, you don't know you're emitting light. So what you said, I feel you. Please continue.
It's just literally like we don't know. So I think darkness, pain, all these things, they're there to show us how bright we can shine. You put a candle in a dark room, all of a sudden it can light up a room. And if you put a candle in the sun, it won't even know that it exists. So if we only existed in this like bright light space, we wouldn't know our capability and what we actually truly are. You know, and I think that's why it's so important to recognize that anything that you go through in your life, even when you're in a rut, for me, what helps me when I'm in a space of like just feeling low or feeling down is that I start praising it. I start being glad. I'm like, I'm so thankful that you're here. I'm so thankful that I feel shitty right now. I'm so thankful that I don't even know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I love that. I don't know where I'm going to go. And I love that. I don't know what's next for me. And I love that. Because it brings this new, fresh lease of life. Like, I can now see from this space what I am capable of. Because if this never happened, if I was never here, I could never know if I could get out of a situation like this. I would just be oblivious to my own strength. Like, I'm standing here. As I said, I spoke to you last year, and I was a completely different person. That is amazing to me. Like, that's six months, and I'm like a different being. Like, because of the things that I went through and the things that I experienced and how I overcame them. And that to me shows me, oh wow, like this is what you have to offer to the world. It's not about what I have to say or what I can do or whether I touch a million people. It's the fact that I have, and we have the capability to overcome and then share. You know, like this voice is not for me. I've got a voice in my head that talks all the time. That's for me. This voice is to share. That's why I feel like we have stories. My story is not for me. My story is to share. The life that I live, God allows me to live so that I can then share a unique perspective because I push for a unique experience, you know, and that's what's so important.
I feel like narrative and story is literally how we heal as a species, right? We don't realize the power of narrative because, again, whether it's our memories, right, that's just a story we're telling ourselves about something that happened before. Yes, it happened, but it impacts how you think about yourself in the present and the stories you tell yourself going forward. So we're all constantly using narrative to heal. Music, for me, is a version of a narrative, right? And it's also sonic vibration and that's, you know, cymatic, the study of sound, but again, digressing. It's we're all constantly telling stories that can help us actualize the things we want to or actualize the things we're fearful of. And I feel that often when we're actualizing things that we don't like, it's actually because we like them, right? Again, we
like
pretend
drama,
we don't.
You like drama. That is just
yeah.
Like,
and
that.
Because I find that people often like to take the agency away from themselves, their inner God, and blame things on other things. And it's like, if you keep having the same pattern in your life, whether it's through people, circumstance, what are you doing about it to change it? Hmm? Yeah. And if you're not actively trying to change it, or changing your reactions, then you like it.
You got to some degree. Because it makes you comfortable. So I had two points as you were talking here. So one thing was, you talk about stories. I always pride myself on being a storyteller, because I feel like our whole world, his story, like, is based right now in his story. Is definitely a male perspective of this world. That is what, like, yeah, a lot of times our history is. But everything that we know is a story about this happening and that happening. And to me, it's biblical when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word, it was the story. The story was present, and the story of from that point to that point was already present at the beginning of creation. It was already told. So that was the Word. The Word to me wasn't like, you know, the book that we have, although there's words in it. It was the Word of spoken story, and the way that we pass our stories on, and the way that we share then those stories. And that's why I believe the Bible is still being written. This right now is Bible. Like, that is how I see it. This right
you
here.
You just quoted 1 John. I'm Christian, but that was poetry.
But that's the truth. Like, the Bible to me is still being written, because we are still telling our story. Our story is not, it's not based on, it's not based on necessarily the facts. It's based on whoever tells it. That's why they always say, if the war, and who wins the war is the person that tells the story in the world. You know, like, whoever wins the war is the person that told the story. It's that simple. Like, the power in story, we don't take stories as powerful. So your own personal story, you need to look at what you're telling yourself about your life thus far. What have you told yourself about your life? What story are you telling yourself? Have you told yourself, oh, I never had anything, so it's hard for me to get anywhere, it's hard for me to... What are you telling yourself? And then what are you living based on what you're telling yourself? It's so important, you know? I think we forget how important our story and the fact that we're storytellers, how we're telling our story and how then we're living that story out, you know? Like, I tell myself I'm a superhero all the time. I'm an anime character.
So just random question, what do you think your superpower is? Like, what are you here to do? So I'm gonna go on a tangent and then come back to the question, right?
Okay.
So you know Kung Fu, right? Everyone knows Kung Fu. Kung Fu is not martial arts, right? Kung Fu is actually the daily discipline, the thing that you dedicate your life to, right? The daily discipline. So I'm going to cook on a daily basis to be a chef. I'm a musician. I am a poet. I'm going to write every day. And through this daily discipline of action, I'm going to refine my spirit. And again, service to humanity and service to self. Right? So we all have a Kung Fu. Martial art just happens to be a type of Kung Fu. But Kung Fu is not karate. Yeah. Kung Fu is how am I servicing others and how am I servicing my spirit ultimately. So yeah. What is your Kung Fu?
Oh my gosh. How you can, like, break it down like that? I have to get back. Oh, I'm back.
Okay. It's a real thing. Like, it's an actual thing. It's a historic thing.
My Kung Fu is, anybody watching, listen, I would tell you to answer this question for yourself as well, because I think that's a bum-ass question and a bum-ass, like, what you just said. The funny thing is my daily discipline is myself. Uh-huh. Like, I genuinely feel like I spend the most time within myself, within my mind, focusing on how I can become better. Like,
Celestial faculties.
Like, it's generally like, and it's funny that you mentioned that book, because that was the book that made me come to America.
That was really?
The book that made me come to America, the book that made me stay, like, beyond, like, my citizen, like, beyond being, like, I don't know if you know, I don't know if I told you, I probably did, that when I came here, I stayed illegally. Like, I wasn't... That's a whole other story. When I came to America, I came for 3 months to travel through America, and when I got to the end, I felt like the universe and God was telling me to stay. And I was like, yeah, but I'll be illegal. And God was like, stay. And I was like, yeah, but how am I going to eat? And God was like, stay. And I was like, yeah, but how am I going to move? God was like, stay. So I was like... And I stayed beyond... all of that, and I lived here for 2 to 3 years. When you met me, I just got my citizenship. I wasn't able to fight back. I wasn't able to, but I stayed because it was a living prophecy, because my spirit was telling me, now, be here, be here, be here. So it's crazy that you mentioned that book. But back to the Kung Fu question.
I'm so right next to you. It literally is the Bible.
Yeah.
The Celestine prophecies is the Bible. Like, yeah.
No, honestly, whoever just said you need to read the book, you need to read this book. It's generally teaching you how to be in alignment with following the flow. Like, it's funny that we're talking about the flow, but it literally teaches you how to be in alignment and what to look for to know whether you're in flow or not. That's really what it is. You know, it tells you how to decipher your feelings, decipher the signs, how to be present within yourself and within your body. Even if you take a minute now and feel your body, and not just feel your body, but try to feel the inside of your body. And you have this faint sensation of like space. It's this weird, and then when you sit there and you start to feel your body, and if you have your eyes closed, just feel it move through your body. Feel, go from the top of your head to the crown of your feet. Just feel this energy and know that that's what you are. You're not the physical, but you're this. And that
you are energy, the universe manifest.
100%. And this energy extends from you and touches everything. The book is called The Celestine Prophecy. So let me show you again. But yeah, feel this energy that goes through you, and it then extends, and extends to every living thing and every living being. And then when you realize you are part of this whole connection, this web, then it's easy to manifest what you need and what you desire, because you'll know based on the web where to go. It's like a spider when she spins the web. She knows when her prey gets caught because a line in it vibrates and then she goes towards it. That is how it works. Your web becomes so connected that you will be able to feel a vibration that's in frequency with you and move towards it. And that is basically what you do. Yeah, 100%. But you were saying Kung Fu, and you said my Kung Fu is that. I think my Kung Fu is deep thinking, analytical thinking. I'm very analytical, but not in a bad way. You can analyze without judgment. It's something that I'm also learning. You don't have to judge something, you can analyze it. You can just look at it and see how it works. Einstein says intelligence is how to read patterns. You can see a tree and just see a tree, or you can see wood, you can see shelter, you can see a seed, you can see paper, you can see everything that the tree encompasses instead of just seeing a tree. And that's what Einstein says intelligence is, because every single thing has a like layers that you can peel back. And the more you think about all those layers, the more you become attuned to those layers. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's my
profession. Like, that is your profession.
that is my profession. Like, generally, it's looking at the world. That is, and taking the time, because to me, this is all I have. Like, even if I couldn't, if I went deaf, if I went blind, if I lost all my senses and I was there, what would I have? Who would I be? Except from myself, you know? Like, I can say, yeah, my Kung Fu is music. I do music every day. Or, oh, my Kung Fu is it's like, okay, that is very true. I have learned discipline. I have learned these things through it. But essentially, it's self. It's always like, for me, it always boils down to like, how can I push myself to be better? I want to be able to levitate. If it's possible to fly, I want to get there. I think human capability is so broad and so vast, and we don't ever take the time to actually tap into that hope. Like, it's definitely about tapping into this presence and this awareness of all that we can possibly be. You know, like, that's why I love Beyonce, and I will bring Beyonce up every moment I get. That woman has tapped into her full, but you can tell when someone's living in their full potential. When she's on stage dancing for 2 hours, like, and singing and doing, like, and then creates this, like, amazing art and this whole vibration which she encompasses, she has embodied herself fully. And I think all of us have that capability to be a high manifestation. I feel like we need to keep pushing towards that until we are walking around in heaven, because we've all become gods.
But I think it's two things, right? Because Beyonce speaks about Sasha Fierce. Sasha Fierce is her online alter ego, right?
Mm-hmm.
So A, I think she's identified that this is an avatar, right?
Yeah.
I'm the presence that exists inside this avatar. So I'm going to let my avatar go out there and do what it needs to, right? And then B, the divinity of action in the space. Again, it seems to be a theme, right? Action in the space creates our worlds as we know it, right? So her daily discipline to her craft, right, to her music. And she's been doing it since she was a child. So I think there's also a level of self-awareness. And I think she was lucky enough to be brought into a home where her parents realized that she knows herself. Because I feel like we come out of the womb fully formed. Fear is a learned behavior, right? We learn not to touch stuff, not to go places. Literally, we're taught fear. We're not born with fear. So I feel like often kids are here to teach us so many things. And if we can just silence our egoic minds, we'd be able to listen to them and give them the tools they need instead of trying to socialize them into whatever system we exist in.
That is so true.
So yeah, Beyonce's parents as well are just as powerful as her. Because to listen to your child and say, this is what you want to do, how can I assist? And if you want to do something next week that's completely different. If Beyonce wanted to play soccer at 7 and they were behind her, it's just that unconditional love, again, that the Celestine prophecy speaks of. It's having unconditional love in your formative years literally shapes who you become and the way in which you interact with people.
And anybody that didn't maybe get that love, get that unconditional love, get that support, how would you say or tell them to maybe embody that now in their adult lives?
I really believe in the inner child healing therapy that I spoke to you about looking at your timeline and then going into your memories and really feeling them as you did at whatever age, right? So feeling the feeling that yourself at 5 felt, right? And living out that memory and then giving self whatever you wished you had, right? So if in the moment you needed someone to spur you on and tell you to do it, or if you needed a hug in the moment, or if you, whatever you needed out of that space, if you can give it to yourself, just sitting with yourself, right? Because it's just in your memory. Then I feel also you connect within a child more. And there's a book that I love as well. It's a different book. It's called The Artist's Way. And basically in it, they speak of having a date with yourself and your inner artist, because we all have inner artists. So it's setting up time the way you would for a partner or family members. Taking yourself on a date every week. Your inner child, your inner artist needs to be free. So what does your inner child need? Do you want to, I don't know, go to bounce and jump around? Do you want to go to a cafe? Do you want to go to a bookstore? But it's making time for yourself. The way you make time for other people in your lives, literally setting that time aside and just playing with self and being in self. And I think that, because again, we're just kids, man.
It's crazy.
Trying to be adult.
You're like, everything you're saying, the reason I'm freaking out is because we're in such alignment. And it normally happens anytime that we talk. It's just like, oh, we're in the same place. Oh, we understand. Oh, but everything you've been saying, like this whole period of time, I've been doing what you just said. It's like, I'm dating myself. When people are like, are you seeing anybody? I'm like, yes, me. Like, I'm literally treating myself as if I'm my own woman. Like, I'm like, what do you need, baby? How do you feel? Like, I'll give myself a hug. I'll shrug my neck. I'm just like, yeah, it's okay. Like, whenever I feel easy, I'm like, take a minute, take a breath, be okay. Like, I've literally been doing that in the last couple of weeks. And I realized the change in how I treat myself. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Anybody out there, just do it. Like, treat yourself as, like, I get up in the morning sometimes and I smell good. I sprayed myself today. I smell good for me. It was like, I am this woman. And what happens with it is, like, you'll find things to love about you the way that you love about a partner. I'll be like, wow, okay, like, you're just so patient with it, how you deal with this, or oh, you're searching for yourself. That's so amazing. That inspires me. Like, I talk to myself as if I was watching myself outside of myself and falling in love with me. And that, I never got that concept before. If I'm honest, like, everybody's like, self-love. And I just thought, oh yeah, okay, like, you know, face mask, like like self. But no, it's actually falling in love with you. On a deep level. Like, what do you like? What do you love about yourself? What about your mind do you love? What about your spirit do you love? How do you treat people? And this is important with the quarantine, because people that are isolated and sitting on your own, you only have your own thoughts. You only have yourself to deal with. So you really get to see whether you like yourself or not. Like, do you like what's going through your head when you're alone? Do you like how you feel after you had that interaction? Do you like how you maybe decided to move in that way or treat someone in that way? Like, do you love yourself? Do you love what you do? And if the answer is no, don't beat yourself up. Don't be mad about it. Just be like, okay, bet, I've got work to do. And be excited about that work. Be excited about that challenge. Okay, be excited. You know, like, you might not know what to do, but be excited. Be like, I don't know what to do, and I love that because I'm going to figure it out. Because we don't ever know what to do. But if you don't challenge yourself to work through it and figure it out, you're going to be still. And stillness is what we try to avoid, because that creates stagnancy. And stagnancy is basically death. Because what we've been saying about movement, movement is life. You know, so... yeah, it's funny that you say that, and because... no, go.
To add on to that, it's, again, a chat that we had almost in the beginning of the conversation, that this quarantine is almost like forced meditation for the entire planet. So if there's any things on the shelf that you haven't dealt with emotionally, if it's also exposing the cracks in relationships, right, with partners, like China's seen a surge in divorce, right, divorce rates, because... I feel like our houses are places that we frequently don't live at home, right? We live outside in the world, come home, and we undress, and then we, like, continue, right? Yeah. So same thing with family members, right? There's ancestral trauma. There's all of these underlying things that we don't address because we're never still. And this time is actually a blessing, right? Obviously, it's the lens with which you choose to see it. And it's also a privilege. Because if you're able to quarantine, that is a privilege, and we have to acknowledge that it is a privilege. Yeah. But it's sitting with yourself and sitting with your relationships. Because the surge in divorce is people realize they don't like their partner. They've grown apart, right? Because they're not living with them. They're not interacting with their family members. They've had the same dysfunctional cycle happen in the family for, like, generations, right? And often, what you said earlier about being the mother and the child is really beautiful, because we're sitting with our parents and they're sitting with their parents, and all of these are traumas and sometimes maybe really beautiful pieces of insight that are passed on to us. And most of the time we're living unconsciously and just reproducing patterns that were given to us. So now we get to look at it and say, is this how I actually consciously want to function in the world, right? And
I think that, but it is that looking at it, and I think that's maybe why it's hard for anybody, or a lot of people right now, because they have to look at themselves and what they see they don't like. And that is, again, to me, about spiritual growth, spiritual enlightenment, spiritual whatever we call it, even self-development, it's hard. It's like, I had this analogy once, it's like going into your wardrobe and being like, this is an ugly ass shirt, who owns this shirt? This is ugly. And you're looking for your clothes and be like, this is ugly. And realizing, oh, you just don't have style. That would hurt anybody. Like, when you stop and you realize, oh, yeah, I just, and then having to clear it out and reapply, like, that process is what self-development is and spiritual work. It's kind of like realizing that, oh, maybe I'm not so good. And no one wants to actually admit that to yourself. Like, you don't want to admit, like, ah, I'm not too hot there, or I'm actually quite a dick. I always say to people, I can be a dick at times. I learned that about, I had to look at myself and be like, yeah, you can definitely be, you don't have to be an asshole all the time. You don't have to say that. And I had to look at it and be real with myself. Even the parts of myself that maybe be a little bit, like, narcissistic and, oh, this part, and I can recognize it in people, but I can only recognize, you can only recognize something in someone if you see it in yourself. Because everybody's a mirror to you. Like, everybody's a mirror. Even if you're at a grocery store and you see somebody, they're shouting at, oh, why? And you're like, why are they doing that? In your mind, you might think there's a separation, but you're the same. So if you see it and you're like, okay, look, this is a thing, this is a person, this is a being that is here, and I am, like, a part of this energy. I might not be acting in this energy right now, but I'm a part of this energy. What parts of myself acts like this? Why are they acting like this? Why are they frustrated? Do you think it's really because of what's happening?
Why am I triggered?
Yes.
Whenever you're triggered, it means that you need to go in and do some healing.
Yes.
One of my lessons today, actually, and I was lucky enough to be clear enough to channel it, and I realized that shame is not of God. God will never shame us, right? I feel like shame is a human vibration and a human concept. We use God and God body and the way in which we should act to shame each other into acting in a certain way. But even if you look at the Bible, right, God at no point in time shames you. He tells you that I will give you unconditional love, right? And we come from abundance and unconditional love. So the moment you're operating in shame or judgment, because those two are so closely related, it means you're not operating in God's body. Because it's just, it's impossible. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's actually one of the lowest vibrations, like shame and guilt. They're one of the lowest vibrations because it literally to me
and that's
like
the creative house. So your sacral chakra, orange chakra, is blocked by shame and guilt. You can't create. You can't create when you're operating from that level of frequency.
Oh my gosh, we've got a 2 minute countdown. Okay, we've got two minute countdown.
I can't believe we spoke for an hour. That's insane.
I'm not surprised that we actually spoke for this long because, again, guys, sorry, Isabel gave me the 1 minute 41 countdown. But to anybody, follow this lady. Like, she's amazing. This woman is amazing. Like, you are one of the people. She's my guru. Like, you're someone that I would call. I love the way that you think. I love your mind. I love you from all of my heart, like, to the bottom of my spirit, all the way up down to the universe. Like, you already know that. And it's been from this point that I met you, I already knew you were going to be in my life forever. Like, and I already knew that you were going to change the world in whatever way that you chose to, you know, because the way that you think, hey, like, keep going, because you're inspiration, not into like me, but I know like anybody's life that you're in.
Thank you for holding faith, because again, what you said, anything you see in another is a reflection of what's inside of you. So I always say this to you, I'm just holding a mirror to you, right? And that's also why we have so much synergy, because yeah, it's a really pure space. So thank you for holding the space. And thank you for the God Flow podcast. And thank you for making it live and direct. Hey. And how did we get to an hour?
Hey, close out like this. But yeah, guys, all week I'm doing this. The next person I'm talking to is Olu, Johnny Venus from Earth Gang. That's going to be on Tuesday. It's going to be amazing. Talking about community building, stuff like that. Thank you. I'm actually going to post this as well. So if you pass it on to a friend, I'm going to post this. And I'm gonna upload it so we can listen to it on like Apple Music and stuff.
So I'll let you know what that happens.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's gonna be everywhere. It's gonna be everywhere. Put it in the world. But I love you. Thank you so much. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. This is the God Flow podcast. Over and out.